there postponing the meeting late. I had to consult to clear some issues before we proceed. We are dealing today with the final mandate on the legal practice bill. And the process is going to unfold like this. We are going to give to the department to comment on the amendments that we made, and then allow the parliamentary legal advisors also to comment and give advice, and allow members to vote on those clauses. Each clause which will require the majority of 5 provinces, and then we conclude the business of the day. Without any waste of time, I'll hand over to the department. JB.
Thank you, Chair, and honourable members, colleagues, and all in attendance. thank you, Chair. We are pleased to be given the opportunity just to reflect on the final mandate of provinces. And we basically wanted to share some few aspects which basically seeks to tighten up and clean up the bill in terms of what has come out. We have had the opportunity just to read the amendments into the deal list, and we have also noticed some few aspects that could be of benefit to the committee, which we would suppose that they could have been cleaned up as well during the negotiation process within the broad mandate given by the provinces. And Mr. Lawrence will basically give his point of view after I presented what happened with him just looking at the D list and the C list, etc. So I'm going to basically talk using the C list as was taken to provinces. The first point I wanted to raise within this chair is with regard to clause 6, where the proposed change as inserted in the list indicates in consult requires that there should be in consultation with the council. The minister must develop legislative and policy processes in consultation with council. When you read the clause, the heading that leads to the change basically clearly states that the minister does that at the request of council. So the minister must, at the request of council, the main heading is that to be sub-clause 5 of clause 6. It says the council, comma, with regard to education and law and legal practice, generally, and then you go to I, must, at the request of the minister, advise the minister on multilateral legal practices which the minister may consider for the purpose of development policy. Now, there is an in consultation proposed there. That does not make sense. You cannot say the council must may at the request of the minister and in consultation, because it is the council that should act at the request of the minister. So the in consultation becomes misplaced when you read the entire sentence from the English language perspective. Not from anywhere, that's from the English, that in consultation is missing. Mess up the entire sentence that way. But that is a very technical aspect that we thought that as the provinces go throughout, they could briefly look into the matter. as they consider the cities. The second point relates to present at the meeting already, and that's clause 17. Firstly, clause 16 deals with the quorum. Clause 17 deals with the decision of the majority of members of the council. Now, already the scheme of the act flows throughout all the other provisions. There's a clause in terms of the 107 that deals with the quorum, which takes the same approach, that the majority of members becomes the majority of it, becomes the decision of the council. Now, there's no way that you could have proposed an amendment to one clause without impacting on the other. So it would be ideal that as part of the negotiating process, the committee adopts a uniform principle of the bill, because those principles are taken in a number of instances where there are structures that meet. You cannot have a principle in the council, you say, those in attendance. In the forum, you say members of the forum. In the fund, you say members of the fund. So you need to synchronize so that the same principle. So when the bill was drafted, we follow the same principle in terms of making sure that you safeguard the interest of the council. And also we thought that the committee may want to, when they take the decision, they must look at the nature of the composition of the council. Because if you've got a quorum of 23 members equates to 12 majority. If you've got a quorum of 12, it means that one representative group actually, may, in terms of the composition, that over the quorum, that group alone may sit, and then you only, if you take this principle, it means the majority of that quorum can take a decision. Then it means that only 6 members of 12 can take a decision, and the committee must decide whether you want to follow the principle in the bill in terms of national forum at 107, in terms of fund in 102, and take a uniform approach, or do you want the council be informed by a decision of 6 people at the end of the day, or you want to keep it 12. But those are aspects that I think will guide you as you go throughout the process moving forward, etc. Plus, the other technical clauses, I'm not referring them to, I just refer to those that were looked into in terms of the act per se. In terms of clause 26, not clause 26, 22. Yes, or clause 22, reduce 57. What the proposed amendment that I put in the chair, it says the council must make, with firstly, it says the fees of the council consist of subscription from members and appropriation by the fund. Now, the proposal says you must make the appropriation by the fund subject to the actuarial report for in case if the fund does not have enough fund to pay. You don't state that in those. Don't say to parents, you've got a duty to support providing for money. That's automatic. Will be able to, you also, if the act places an obligation that you must support, you must pay electricity, you don't in the act provide a provision. It's a very trivial aspect, because by doing so, from a legal perspective, the act already creates what we call a defense itself, so that people can then say, no, not make appropriation because the actual report say whatever. If the fund goes bankrupt, does not have money, whatever, etc. Law and processes have a means of dealing with that. You don't say upfront and say you pay the fund provided you are financially able to do so. What could do, you could even make a similar aspect and say the fund can compensate any member of the public who have suffered pecuniary loss provided they've got money. What are you doing there? You are eroding the very same rights that people are entitled to. So those kind of arrangements, they are technical, they are not very substantive, but if you read them into a bill, basically, the bill opens itself up to to unintended consequences around the process. So we thought that the council may want to look around those aspects as they move forward. Clause 26, Chair, University Reserve Republic in consultation with. Now, this deals with the recognition of foreign qualification by SAGRA. Now, already if you say SAGRA must recognize foreign qualification in consultation with the university. Firstly, you will diminish the power that SAGRA has in terms of its own laws and establishing its own. In all other laws, SAGRA has got that mandate of evaluating qualification. Universities train and produce graduates. SAGRA evaluates the courses. Now, if this committee wants to give university a function that by law is not their territory, it's not their territory to evaluate, SAGRA has been established representative of people even from the university. So SAGRA has got people that are drawn from various constituencies to evaluate courses of all, whatever. Now, if you say the very same people who constitute SAGRA must consult the very same university, whatever, etc., you may find yourself that it opens up a new avenue that basically diminishes the powers of SAGRA. It may even require that we go and amend SAGRA Act, where they get those authority by law, etc. But committee is free to look into those aspects. Just raise them. That if you bring it here, it will require a consequential amendment of the other acts. And I don't think whether it was intended by the committee to go to that extent. But as I'm saying, it's within the power of the committee. I've dealt with clause 50 is fine. In technical, in language, I think there's no problem. Then clause 57 reads with what I said earlier on. That in life, you don't say you pay school fees, provided you've got money. When you put an obligation, it is the duty to pay school fees. So if people are able to pay school fees, then it becomes a different process that is dealt with in terms of the cost, whatever. We don't put an obligation, put a defense right in the very same act. It will be the first kind of act that will introduce that element that you have known of, just from a drafting perspective. I've dealt with 70 and 107 in terms of the scheme. The committee may need to align and come with the same principle. And then the other technical aspects we've picked up relates to clause 93. I know that Eastern Cape has said, and in the bill says, and this doesn't mean the same thing. It's just the wording. The bill says no person may employ somebody who will be stuck on the roll. If you do so, you are guilty of an offense. And upon conviction, you are liable to this sanction. Now, the suggestion is that instead of saying guilty of an offense, you must say you have committed an offense. Those two mean the same thing. But it does not basically move away from the due process. Whether you use guilty of or you use committed an offense, in practice, we have been using guilty of, because that does not exclude the due process. The fact that it says guilty of, it does not mean that there won't be any process of trying you and establish the guilty part of it. That's why when the prosecutor places a charge in court, he doesn't say you have committed an offense. He says you XYZ, you are guilty of an offense of theft. In that, on the 4th of May 2013, in Cape Town, you took somebody, blah, blah, blah. The fact that you have said you are guilty of does not necessarily exclude the due process must follow. But why we are raising this thing? Because all our laws, other than the legal thing, use the word guilty of. You are guilty of when it excludes particular aspects. So the committee must choose where they want to use guilty of or commit an offense of. Because if you commit an offense of, it may want us to revisit all the precedents that the laws that we have had. And then you create this disharmony in terms of the various piece of legislation relating to the very same thing aspect of the subject. Clause 52. The clause already says that Stapuna may be signed by the chairperson or a member of the committee. So the clause itself already deals in a delegation. It does not say the clause must be signed by a chairperson or only. Now it becomes very dumb in the reading. If you say that the sampuna can be signed by the chairperson or a member of the committee or a member delegated by the committee. Already a member of the committee is somebody else other than the chairperson. So and that delegation comes by law. Already the law will allow any other member other than the chairperson to sign the bill. So I do not think that taking it beyond those two takes the matter any further. It does not take the process any further in terms of drafting sign. Do you follow? You are following? Yes. Then 107, I've talked about it. This is section 22 and taking a uniform scheme throughout the act in terms of members of the council or members present. And I think those are technical aspects that the committee can deal with moving forward. Those are aspects that we thought that we can canvas just from a technical perspective, not necessarily substantive mandate. You can look at them in terms of tying up the bill so that one it is consistent with other laws that you have passed in the past in terms of synchronization, and secondly so that it makes a kind of perfect reading and don't open itself to process that may generate uncertainty and interpretation challenges as we move forward. But as I've said, the suggested refinement are within the context of what was in the mandate, and basically intended. We saw them that the committee may want to consider them as part of cleaning up the bill before it submits to before it votes on the bill or finalize the bill today. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to all the honourable members and everybody. Chairperson, I think I would also just make minor inputs to the main clauses that have been spoken to by the department. I think in addition, Chairperson, to clause 6(5)(i), in addition to the misplacement of the inconsultation, I think it is crucial that the committee bear in mind the provisions of section 85(2)(b) and (d) of the Constitution, which basically enables or empowers the cabinet together with the executive to develop and implement national policy. So I think in line with that, in fact, this in consultation provision which is added there will actually be speaking against what the Constitution provides by adding that when the minister decides to develop the policies necessary out of the consultation and the advice that is provided by that clause, the minister will then have to make the decision, including the third structure that is provided in that clause. So I think it truly is a misplaced provision to add in consultation to that clause, and the cleaning up process might just as well correct that challenge. And moving further, Chairperson, so I think in light of that, so clause 6, as through the documents that we have before the committee, it should be considered whether the committee will go through with it or what will be the position. I think also in line with clause 26, which 26 speaks to the involvement of SACA together with the universities. I think also one concern that perhaps the committee must deliberate or consider on is the fact that in addition to what the proposal is actually doing, it says it's not clear whether it will be the applicant that wants to be admitted or enrolled who approaches the recognized tertiary institution in consultation with SAC, with the SAC authority. It's not clear furthermore exactly really how practically that will turn out, whether the university together or in consultation with SACA, how will they engage in the initiation of that process when the person wants to be admitted or endorsed. Furthermore, I think talking to the issue about the present members in the council or in the board meeting, I think also if we look at the manner that the bill is originally drafted, for instance, if we look at clause 17, for me and understanding this, we cannot read clause 17 separately from clause 16, which is the same for clause 70 and all the other provisions that Mr. Skhosana mentioned. For instance, if you read that in clause 16, it says the majority of the members of the council constitute a quorum at any meeting of the council, and then you go to 17.1, which says a decision of the majority of the members present at a meeting of the council constitutes a decision of the council. The two can't be separated, because if the meeting, whether it's a board meeting or it's the council meeting or the fund meeting, does not constitute a quorum, there can't be a decision of that structure without the quorum. So I think it is matters that just really need cleaning up and properly drafting so as to ensure the intention and the end results that are intended out of this legislative measure. I think with regards to the last part that deals with guilty of or commits the offence, it is also as indicated the decision of the committee as to what would be the preferred word to use between guilty of and commits the offence. But I think if you read within the context of the provision, for instance, if I may use the example of clause 93.1. It says any person who in a practice without written consent of the council employs in any capacity any person who has been struck off the roll or suspended, that person who employs is the one who's committing an offence. And so these provisions are basically creating an offence to say to do ABC means you are committing an offence, but the due process that must go through the investigation and the finding guilty and the conviction is the process that will take place through the court after the legislature has created the offence. So I'm thinking the commits an offence is actually much better than using the guilty of, because the guilty of is the version that comes out once the court has made a finding that you are guilty of doing ABC. That's basically my input, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, you heard the comments from the department and the parliamentary legal advisors, and what will happen, we will go through those clauses one by one and request the support for each clause of at least 5 provinces. Starting from clause 6, 17, 26, 29, and the 57. Clause 6, honorable members. just holding agrees that he stays in the draft legislation that was brought forward. Did you hear Honourable Matila and other members?
No, we didn't hear. You are making noise.
You see, Gauteng agrees that it stays as it is in the draft legislation brought forward to us. It's what it means, the way that some provinces suggested it should be in consultation with, cannot be inserted. The way that it's there is after consultation, and that's what we agree on.
We will need the support of 5 provinces, honourable members. Can I get by the show of hands?
No.
Show of hands. Can you raise your hands?
Chairperson, before we are continuing, I feel a bit unhappy about the discipline in the ruling party. I'm an alternative, and I'm coming to help, and I'm a support the North West Province. The North West Province got 2 ANC members on this meeting, on this committee, and they are not here, and I'm looking into the attendance register. They never attend the meetings, and now I must run from other meetings to come and support you here. That is not the way to do it. I'm very unhappy about it. I'll do it now for the last time, and really, that is, and we sit here with grey hairs from the ANC, and I want them to listen what is going on here. And that is not only in this meeting, that's in all the meetings. The ANC must attend the meetings, they have a responsibility, and they must do it, and they are not doing it.
Thank you very much. Ms. Makhate is chairing another meeting now. She apologized, but we note your concern. Can I get the show of hands, honourable members? It's Free State, Gauteng, Limpopo, Northwest, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape. Honourable Nessie?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That is supported by 7 provinces. Can we go to close 17? Same procedure, honourable members. Can I get the support by the show of hands? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Clause 26. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Honourable members, it is brought to my attention that I must also indicate to what do you agree that must be changed.
My province didn't vote in favour of this. I'm abstaining. I'm not going to do anything about these clauses that you changed.
I can't hear Umjak. I can't hear.
You can't hear me?
Yes.
Sorry, I said my province is against this bill, so I abstain. I'm not going to change the bill if I'm against the whole bill. It's of no use for me to vote plus or minus, so I'm abstain.
Okay. On that.
The department indicated what is it that you need to change. We thought
can
that
talk,
the department indicated that what is it that we are dealing with, and went through them clause by clause. The secretary should have taken notes. That's what we agreed.
the parliamentary representatives did the same thing. Now they did not take notes of, because now we're reading the clauses that we are agreeing upon in line with what was brought to us. Now if we have to take another process again, Chair, it's not possible.
Forgive me, Chair, but in some of the clauses you might be saying that you are deleting the clause. I need the committee to instruct me to say that that must be the...
No, Chair, can you explain? The department indicated, that's why I've indicated in the beginning, that the areas that provinces and committee at some point indicated that they want to insert new words, change them this way. There is that area that was indicated to say no. It can't be in consultation with, it must be after consultation. And that goes through the whole process that was underway. And if you have listened, we want to agree with what the department has said and what the legal representative is saying. And that's the process. And we thought you were taking notes in terms of all the data, and that's what we're agreeing upon. That's why the chairperson is just reading the clauses.
Honorable Mukhobi, Honorable Gunda.
No, I think you have covered me, because I thought now we are studying something else. Remember, some of them are those who are saying in consultation and who are conditional. Now we are convinced that it should be after consultation. So we can't be going back again, word by word, whatever. We agree with all what the department is saying and what the legal advice has said. We agree.
Honorable Gunda.
No, Chair, I'm covered by my two colleagues. I also wonder, because it was made clear to us why they want to do it that way, and that's all we need to do now.
Honourable members, skip clause 20-22.
Clause 22 is linked to 57. So it's the same. The other one, which we say that you can't, the suggestion 57 is that the fund must make an appropriation if there's a report which says it's in a financial position solution. So they are linked together. 22 and 57. It just put subject to 57. That's why we're still 57.
Chairperson.
Hello.
Several provinces are agreeing in terms of what they are doing. Yes. If there are any technical things like this, right to the second one, the department and those who are technically in academic and collectible, we are dealing with these principles. Let them understand that seven provinces support. I think we must proceed with the first procedure that we're doing. Okay.
Clause 29. Can I get the show of hands for the support? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 provinces support. Clause 93, honorable members, there were two views. There were two views from the department and from our legal advisor. Which one does the committee support?
Remind us of the two views.
It's also a matter of semantics. The bill says anyone who employs some of the staff of their role shall be guilty of an offence. And on convictions shall be liable to form a sanction. Eastern Cape suggests that anyone who employs somebody with disability role is committing an offense. And on conviction is liable to holding sanction. So it's only two ways that intend the same thing. The other one says guilty of, the other one says it's committing of an offense. Now,
Honorable Mkhosi.
In a common wish law, when somebody is guilty, when there is a judgment, I think the version from the legal advice, I suggest, should be the one that must be taken. Because commonly you know that you are guilty when you have raped.
Any support for that? By show of hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Honourable members, one last clause 39.
Nine is what we said earlier on. The bill can says the sapuna can be signed by the chairperson or any or in his or her absence, any member of the committee. Now the proposed insertion says it can be signed by the chairperson or in his or her absence any member of the committee. Or any other person designated by the chairperson. Now we say it becomes very clumsy because already the bill provides when the chairperson is not there, a member of the committee can sign. So there's a delegation that is infused into the provision itself. Now, if you say if the chairperson is not there, it can be any other member, then the committee must decide to take out any other member of the committee who is already built in. And put in other person. Now you've got three people, which makes the reading very confusing.
Our indication is, when it was read out that we agreed that we leave it as it is, that the chairperson or any other member of the committee.
Can I get the support for the show of it? Seven. Honorable members, before we agree on the report, it has been brought to my attention that the Western Cape wants that its views should be noted, that it is against the bill. Yes. Is that so, Omjak?
I'm
I'm saying before we agree to adopt the report, it has been brought to my attention that the Western Cape wants its minority list to be noted.
Yes, please. Can I read it?
The Western Cape would like to request, in line with the Rule 70171, that its objection to the legal practice bill be included in the committee report on the bill as follows. The Western Cape objects to the legal practice bill on several grounds, specifically that the formation of the legal practice council forces advocates and attorneys into one governing body, thus constituting a form of fusion of the profession, and that the minister is given too much power of the South African Legal Practice Council and over the profession as a whole, specifically the power of resolution, the prescription of community service, and that of maximum tariffs.
Are you done on that? That is noted. can we now move for the adoption of the report? Honorable Mukhodi or Honorable Gunda?
I move for the adoption of the report.
And the seconder?
I second.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, this then brings us to the end of the meeting. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
I agree with adopting this. Normal practice is that you read the report. I'm not sure what do we do now.
Honorable members, can you just stay for 1 minute? 1 minute.
Honorable members,
okay, honorable members, just to read that the Select Committee on Security and Constitutional Development has been deliberated on and considered the subject of the Inter Parties Bill D20D2012 referred to it and classified by the JTMSA Section 76 Bill because that it has agreed to an amendment bill, and that the support for the adoption of the bill was not unanimous. The Western Cape did not support the bill on the following grounds: that it objected to the legal practice bill, asserting that the formation of the legal practice council forces advocates and attorneys into one governing body, thus constituting a form of fusion of the profession. The Western Cape further asserted the bill gave the minister too much power over the South African legal practice council and over the profession as a whole, specifically the power of dissolution, the prescription of community service, and that of maximum tariffs. The meeting is adjourned, honorable members.